Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part one of Man, the Likeness of God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so." Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In our previous study, we looked at the meaning of man being created in the image of God and saw how that refers primarily to the immaterial aspect of man. Man, like God who made him, possesses knowledge, feelings, and a will. Man is a moral agent, and man is a spiritual being or a religious being. And these are the things that we considered when we looked at God being created, or man being created in the image of God. So we come once again to this subject, and we want to look at three things. First of all, we want to look at how man was created. Secondly, we want to look at man as male and female. And then thirdly, we want to look at man as Lord of creation. So, how was man created? Now, of course, the popular opinion on this is that man is the result of evolutionary processes. And man evolved somewhere between 1 to 5 million years ago. A few years back, there was a television program that was hosted by Walter Cronkite. The program was called Ape Men, The Story of Human Evolution. And on that program, Walter Cronkite said this. He said, "If you go back far enough, we and the chimps share a common ancestor. Going back maybe 500,000 generations, about 5 million years ago was an ape." You know, it's astounding to me that he would say something like this. But this is the popular opinion. Many of us, perhaps all of us, have seen those charts that show us the evolutionary process and the different types of what you might call ape men. There was the Nebraska man, and the Java man, the Piltdown man, the Peking man, of course, Neanderthal man. And with each and every one of these, there has been this ongoing attempt to convince the general population that this is our ancestry. Actually, each and every one of them have been disproven to have been an ape man, a transitional creature of some sort. Each and every one of them have been proven to have either been a hoax, actually an ape, or a man. But not one of them is in reality an ape man, but yet, even though this has been thoroughly disproven, this is still being perpetrated on kids in school today. They're still teaching that these are our ancestors. And so we have the popular opinion that man is the result of the evolutionary process. But then we also have the view espoused by the theistic evolutionist that God created man indirectly using evolutionary processes. So these are the people who, you know, they want to put God into the equation, but they are firmly convinced that evolutionary ideas are factual. The person who has probably popularized these ideas most among evangelicals is a man by the name of Hugh Ross. And Hugh Ross stated this in his book, Creation and Time. He said, starting about 2 to 4 million years ago, God began creating man-like mammals. Although some of these creatures looked completely human, used tools, buried their dead, and painted on cave walls, they were actually animals and had no spirit. So Hugh Ross teaches that there was a given point in this long process where God simply reached down and he touched the hominid and it became what we know as man at that point. So it's a combining of evolutionary ideas with belief in God. It's trying to mix the two things together. So God created man indirectly using evolutionary processes. Thirdly, God created man directly on the sixth day of creation. And of course, that is what the Bible teaches. Over in verse 7 of the second chapter, we read, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So what the Bible says about the creation of man is totally incompatible with evolutionary ideas. As we pointed out in some of the previous studies, you cannot have it both ways. It's either one or the other. Now, some evolutionists are very dogmatic about that, like Richard Dawkins, for example. He says evolution is a fact and therefore God is a myth. Because if evolution is true, if everything came about through natural processes, then you don't need a God. And I happen to agree with Dawkins on that. But there are others, these ones who still want to hold on to theism, a belief in God, but they have embraced evolutionary ideas. And so they're trying to mix the two things, but here's the problem. The Bible does not allow for that. You see, in the verse we just quoted, we are told that at that moment, God created man. God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And at that moment, man became a living being. You see, if Hugh Ross is correct, then we have a living being, but at a certain time, he becomes more of a modern man type of a creature. He's touched by God. But the scripture tells us that it was at that moment that God breathed into man that he became a living being. He wasn't already a living being. But now, this is important for us to realize, and many of you probably know this already, but just for some that maybe haven't thought about this subject all that much, you know, we talk about creation, and of course we're studying here the first chapter of Genesis, but the first chapter of Genesis is by no means the only place in the Bible where we are told about creation, about the creation of the universe, about the creation of man, or anything else. Creation comes up over and over and over again in the scriptures. God over and over again declares that he stretched out the heavens, he created the earth, he created man upon the earth, he breathed into man the breath of life. God states that numerous times over. In the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 47th verse, Paul says this. He says, "The first man was of the earth, made of dust." So you see, again, and I'm primarily wanting to challenge the ideas of the theistic evolutionist, those ideas are in conflict with the biblical account of how man was created. It wasn't through a long, long process of millions of years of some type of evolution occurring. God formed man directly, immediately out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And as Paul says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. So who was the first man? The first man was obviously Adam. So there is no such thing as a pre-Adamite race. All of this is mythology. It's part of the mythology of evolution. And once again, we see from the biblical account that Genesis and evolutionary ideas are diametrically opposed to one another. You cannot blend the two together. And so man was created directly by God, as we read here on the sixth day. Now, notice that man was formed of the dust of the ground. I'd like to quote to you from Henry Morris. He said, "God used the dust of the ground to make man's body, a remarkable phrase conveying the thought that the smallest particles of which the earth was composed, in modern terminology, the basic chemical elements, nitrogen, oxygen, calcium, etc., were also to be the basic physical elements of the human body. This fact is not at all obvious to superficial examination. Rocks seem to all appearances to be composed of totally different substances than human flesh, but it has nevertheless been verified by modern science." So we know today from scientific experimentation that God did indeed make man from the dust of the earth, just like Genesis said that he did. Because the same elements that are found in the dust of the earth are found in our bodies. And so God formed man directly out of the dust of the ground. But then we read there that God created them male and female. Now this again is another challenging thing for the evolutionist. You know, it's kind of interesting to me because those who embrace evolution usually can come up with an explanation for everything. As nonsensical as it might be, they nevertheless do come up with explanations. But on this particular one, there is a fair amount of silence. The evolutionist does not have a particular theory for how, through the evolutionary process, male and female could have developed. So this is something that stumps them. As someone once said regarding evolution, it is a fairy tale for adults. Now, we read here that God created them, male and female. Now, notice the wording. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, when we get into the second chapter, we're going to go into more of a detailed account of the creation of the woman. But the woman was created on the sixth day. Genesis chapter 2 is not a secondary creation account. It's just a closer look at the events of the sixth day, and particularly the creation of woman. So there on the sixth day, God created them, male and female. The gender confusion in our culture today is a direct result of rejecting God's word. Gender confusion. There's a ton of gender confusion in our culture today. One commentator said this. He said, In our day, many say there are no essential differences between men and women, or that whatever differences there are accidental. This is understandable from those who think that mindless evolution is the means by which we have become what we are. But it is entirely incomprehensible from the standpoint of the Bible, which tells us that nothing is an accident, and that sexuality in particular is the result of the creative act of God. Maleness and femaleness are therefore good and meaningful. Men are not women, and women are not men. Now, it's really amazing the days that we're living in and the things that we are having to address and to contend with as we're teaching through the scriptures. And as I've mentioned to you before, I sometimes long for those simpler days when you could just, you know, it's almost like to teach Genesis today, you have to have a PhD in astrophysics or something, you know. You just long for the day when you could just get back to more of a simple perspective on it. And I was thinking about, you know, when you come to the issue of male and female and so forth, as we come across here in the text, I was thinking about those who would teach the text in generations gone by. And I was thinking, boy, if they could see what we have to contend with today, they would be utterly shocked. I'm sure nobody could have imagined in their wildest dreams that pastors from pulpits would have to talk about things like transgenderism. But transgenderism is a huge issue in our culture today. Transgenderism is a new term in our brave new world that refers to people medically altering their gender. Can't imagine anyone 100 years ago would ever have believed that you would have to address this while teaching the Bible. But this is how low we have sunk into our depravity. And so these are the kinds of things. But as I said in the beginning, as we went into the study in Genesis, we would see, and I think we are seeing, how incredibly relevant this book is to the current situation. That's why there is such hostility toward it. That's why there is such an effort to keep this message from the ears of people, particularly from the children. Don't let them hear what the Bible says. Because what the Bible says is in total conflict with what men are thinking and what they're proposing today. And so today we hear of men who think they are supposed to be women. We hear of women who think they are supposed to be men. I don't know if you remember, there was right there, it seemed like every single time I would go to any particular news site, it was talking about the pregnant man. You remember that? the pregnant man. And they were presenting it as though it was a reality that a man was having a baby. But no, it wasn't a pregnant man. It was a woman who wanted to be a man and so had some gender alteration occurring, but yet, nevertheless, still remained a female and therefore got pregnant. But, I mean, I was astounded. It was literally presented like, isn't this great? We've now got a pregnant man. This is the kind of confusion that we're dealing with in our culture. And, you know, of course, there was a time when people would say, you know, this is horrifying. This is unthinkable. But many voices today are saying, oh, this is the most wonderful thing that could ever happen. And I was reading an article just the other day about a certain government that was, you know, going to go full force in promoting these kinds of things and giving instruction to the hospitals throughout their country to begin to perform gender-altering services. So this is, sadly, where we've come today in our culture. But what is it when we have men who think they are supposed to be women and women who think they are supposed to be men? This is a delusion, and this is the result of the utter absence of God and God's view of life from the minds of people today. This is a delusion that's coming upon people. What is the answer? The answer is right here in Genesis 1. God made them male and female. God doesn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Any person who thinks they should be the other gender is under a delusion. You need to go back to what the Bible says and realize that you are what you are because God made you that way, and that's what you're supposed to be. And God's going to help you find out who you are as you seek Him. And you don't want to buy into any of that propaganda that is out there. But this is happening today. Confusion. Gender confusion. But it's because men are rejecting God's word. And there's a huge amount of propaganda in the culture. And so, you know, if a man doesn't feel all that masculine, somebody comes along and says, oh, well, maybe you were supposed to be a woman. Or if a woman feels a little bit more masculine, doesn't feel all that feminine, oh, well, maybe you were supposed to be a man. No. God knew what He was doing. He made you the way He made you. And we find out who we are. We come to understand our identity as men and women in the context of a relationship with Him. Now, one other thing in looking at man being created male and female, the fact that God created two distinct persons as male and female, rather than just one man, is part of our being created in the image of God because it can be seen to reflect to some degree the plurality of persons within the Trinity. So it's interesting that, remember, in the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. But man, singular, is both male and female. Because, of course, as we've already touched on a little bit, God, although He is one, there is a plurality within His nature. So here is another manifestation of the way man is created in the image of God with this plurality. You know, in the scripture, you can read of certain attributes of God or characteristics or certain things that are declared concerning God, you know, speaking of His might, His power, His strength, His wrath, those kinds of things. And those are generally considered masculine kinds of traits. But you can also read about God's compassion, his tenderness, His pity, His love. And you know, sometimes those are referred to as, you know, if you think of generalizations with men and women, You think of women as generally being more tender and more soft and more loving and more gentle and things like that, and men being harder and more aggressive and all of that. But the biblical picture of God, you have all of those things sort of, you know, coming together to create that picture.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Man, the Likeness of God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Man, the Likeness of God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0009. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.